Our scripture reading for today comes from the book of James. We've been in the book of James for the last few weeks, and this is the last chapter. This is sort of as he is closing up this letter. So this is a reading from James chapter 5, beginning with verse 13, where he says, "Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Beloved family of God, grace and peace to you from God, our Creator, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We have come to our final Sunday in our James series, and it's been an eye-opening one for me, particularly, I hope it's been for you as well, around the ways in which our faith and our action are inextricably entwined. Right? The faith that we carry in our hearts, the faith that we have in the ways that we act within the world, it's a huge point of emphasis for James, and that's been such a wonderful thing to carry with us, because James rightly orients our actions, the ways that we act, the ways that we treat others, as flowing out of our faith. And today he chooses to end his letter rooted in prayer. He gives several instances of times when we may need to pray. Are any among you sick? Are any among you suffering? And then directs the person experiencing hardship or suffering. Anyone who's sick or stuck in sin is directed to God in prayer. I've been thinking a lot about prayer and action and the ways that the two are linked, particularly when I see an image like this come up on Facebook. Have any of you seen this kind of a sentiment? Something like this often gets posted in response to some kind of a tragedy, where there's this sentiment that expresses thoughts and prayers to people who are near tragedy, whether physically or emotionally. And then there's this reaction to this idea that expresses that thoughts and prayers aren't the only things needed, but also some sort of action or policy change to prevent this from happening again. And I think James would say that both of these miss the mark. I think James would say that they both err on one side or another, one extreme or another, and instead what is needed is a combination of the two. Prayer and action together. James would say that thoughts and prayers without acting is not a living faith. If we remember just a couple weeks ago, he went so far as to say faith without works is dead. But I believe that James would also say that acting without prayer is a very easy way to get off center and miss the mark by acting of our own accord, acting based on our own wants, our own needs, our own agendas, rather than seeking in prayer to discern the will of God for you and for your neighbor. Prayer and action are both needed in our lives of faith as we discern what it means as disciples of the living God here in this place. We've run into this in our study of Dietrich Bonhoeffer that we've been doing as well. In fact, in today's session, I don't want to spoil anything for anybody, but in today's session, we're going to hear a quote from his letters and papers from prison. So quick background, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a Lutheran pastor in Germany in the 1930s and 40s. He resisted the Nazi rule and was actually involved in a plot to assassinate Hitler. He was imprisoned for 2 years before ultimately being executed at the age of 39, just 2 weeks before the camp he was imprisoned in was liberated. While he was imprisoned, he wrote and wrote and wrote to members of his family, to some of his friends, trying to wrestle with how the German church could have readily given their permission for Hitler to do the things that he did. And he basically came to the conclusion that if the church was willing to be in lockstep with Nazi Germany, then the church basically had no longer anything to do with Jesus. So a question that he wrestled with is, what does it mean to have faith in Jesus apart from this institution that had gone so far astray? And in one of his letters, he wrote this. He said, we can be Christians today in only two ways, through prayer and doing justice among humans. Now, for Bonhoeffer, doing justice had this very tangible meaning for ways that we act with and for our neighbor. It meant looking around at the injustices that were happening and taking action in ways that try to right the wrongs being done to those who were most vulnerable. Basically, he was calling out the way forward as Jesus followers, as prayer and action on behalf of our neighbor. When we pray without acting with and for our neighbors, I think both James and Bonhoeffer would encourage us to take that next step further toward action that connects us both to God and to our neighbor. And just like they would discourage us from prayer without action, I think they would also discourage us from action that doesn't first seek God in prayer. Because action without prayer is easily co-opted for our own agendas, our own means. Attending to prayer before we act can help us to avoid those pitfalls on either side of the path and help us stay connected to God and to one another as we live and move in the world. This is something that the Apostle Paul echoes in his letter to the Philippians that we read today. You might be surprised to know that a number of people who Pastor Aaron and I visit point to these verses from Philippians as words of encouragement and strength when they're going through a trying time. Right? Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We might read those words and think, well, that's easy for the Apostle Paul to say, don't worry about anything. That might be easy for him to say, but has he seen my to-do list? Has he seen the world as it is? Yeah. If we remember the time in which Paul was writing this, he was in prison. He was well acquainted with the hardships of life. And yet within those hardships of life that he was experiencing, he wanted to encourage the church that there is nothing that we are experiencing that is too big or too scary for God. There's no worry or fear that you have that God will shy away from. The cross is our reminder of that. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your requests be known to God. The cross is our reminder that God joins us in every bit of suffering or grief that we can encounter. The cross is our reminder that God is with us through every up and down, every hill and valley that we could ever encounter. And are called. In the middle of that place, we are called and invited to live cross-shaped lives. Lives that center prayer and action in our response to our neighbors in need. By doing this, we follow the example of Jesus. Right in the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus covered his disciples in prayer and concrete action. He went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray for his disciples and for all who would follow Jesus through them. It includes you and me as well. For all who would follow Jesus because of the witness of those who came after him. But Jesus didn't stop at prayer. He took concrete action in submitting himself to betrayal, arrest, and crucifixion, that in doing so he would destroy the power of sin and death and open pathways to life for us all. We too are called to live cross-shaped lives of prayer and action. And that may look different for each and every one of us, because God has given us different skills, different gifts, in order to build up and encourage those around us. Yet in the midst of those differences, in the midst of those different gifts and abilities that we have, we're called to live those cross-shaped lives of prayer and action, so that together we can use our gifts of faith to be the church, the body of Christ to the world in need. And so may you be blessed in your prayer and in your action, confidently making your requests made known to God. And may the peace of God, which is far above any of our understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.